This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your
country. We are the last
Americans.
We are the last
Americans.
We are the last
Americans.
Oh my God!
What is up?
Oh yes. You gotta love the technicalities of things.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, it happens, dude. You know? Shit happens.
Whoa, hold on. Whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
We all had issues in the studio.
Dave's here, but his camera's not working, so hang on.
Oh, great.
What's going on with this shit?
1 second.
What's up, dude?
Look, we got Ghost Dave.
Ghost.
I'm here, but I'm not really
there. There he is.
Yeah, we just started, dude, so welcome.
I heard.
Yeah, that monitor no longer works.
Sweet, dude.
So
that's cool.
At least for now.
Yeah, so you won't be able to see Greg.
My fucking heart's racing.
Why?
I don't know. I opened the door and I heard the music, the intro, and I was like, holy shit, I made it.
Oh, yeah. I thought you just got like one of those jib-jab things. I'm like, wait a second.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah.
Man, dude.
How was the weekend?
It's good. It's good.
Okay.
Today was the first day of my weekend, so.
Well, I mean,
hell yeah, brother.
Oh, yeah. I worked all weekend. It was
busy.
I'll crack that. Cheers to you.
I mean, we didn't play any baseball because it was raining all freaking week, but we played some football.
Okay.
And my son played against, that's what I hate about the flag football team right now. I mean, I love the team. I love, like, you know, the spirit of it, but it's not really competitive.
No,
you know, it's hit or miss.
Your son's in flag football.
Yeah. So
he's like fucking 10, right?
Yeah. What's he not playing real football for?
Well, so here's the deal is with flag football. It's all about participation. You know what I mean? There's no tryouts. It's not like, cause you could actually have legit flag football. Like there's some legit flag football teams out there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say legit, it's like, they're just good, you know? But this stuff, like you have kids that are like picking their nose, that are like dilly dallying. You're like trying to tell them what to do. Cause I'm kind of co-coaching right now. You know what I mean? I'm not like the head coach, but I'm like assistant coach, you know?
Okay.
And so I'm out there on the field with every play. And it's just like, it's really frustrating at times when you're just like, dude, shut the fuck up. Listen to the goddamn coach. And let's play some fucking football.
Are you the guy that's like the coach? Is like, I want you guys to go out there with a positive attitude and kill every one of them.
Yeah. I'm always like, are we going to win today,
plates, man?
Yeah, I'm all talking about like winning, and then like the main coach is just saying like, well, are we going to have fun? Because that's the idea. We're here to have fun. And I'm like, oh, but still want to win. Yeah, let's win some fun.
So let me ask you, because I don't have any boys myself, but they don't have normal football at that age?
Dude, they do. We're just not going to sign Kingston up yet.
Oh,
okay.
Like they have padded football. I've heard that it's just the level of skills that they teach you at this age isn't worth getting them involved. Like the risk is higher than the reward at this point. If that makes sense. Because there's kids that can get hurt, and you know, that's just part of the fucking game, you know?
Yeah.
But they're kind of sloppy because, I mean, just paying attention is one of the key details in listening to a coach and like not getting hurt. And I feel like the kids, just from my observations with flag football, there's no fucking way, dude.
Yeah. See, the thing, I think
scatterbrained son would be all over the place out there.
But see, I think what, you know, just quick reference, I guess, would be like, if you're in a sport that's as pussy as flag football, not saying your son is pussy, but I'm just saying, like, you're not getting hit hard, right? Like, you're touching a flag. Like, why would you pay attention, right? But if you are going to have a chance to get hit and a kid gets hit, wouldn't that make him more focused in the game if he knew that, like, oh, crap, if I don't pay attention, I'm going to get rocked?
Not really, no. I mean, because they do get focused. Like, they're focused when they get the ball, but that's all they care about. And they're really focused on defense. They love fucking defense. They love pulling flags, and they love going after and, like, being as fast as they can.
Okay.
Team's really good at that. But, like, when it comes to who wants to get the ball, like every huddle, like, okay, bring it in, guys. Can I get the ball? Can I get the ball? And, like, you know, it's just, oof. Anyway,
I get
not
you.
To, like, go on about that, but I think we just played in the rain.
I think it's interesting because, like, I my kids aren't, I have girls, and they're not going to probably play football or baseball or any of the stuff that I played when I was a kid.
Dude, they can play baseball.
Yeah, softball.
Yeah.
You know,
losing they're not into softball. It. She's fucking
they're
rocking,
not into
dude.
It, man. They're not into it at all, actually. They're
Gwen,
both,
no. Dude, I feel like she'd be into it.
No, man, she's not. She's not into it. Like, I've talked about different shit with them.
You
and
gotta,
like,
show it to her.
I have. I was like, so, I mean, there's soccer, there's, you know, there's all these different things. And she's in cheerleading right now. And that's what she wants to do, and she fucking loves it. Mm-hmm. And they're both into, like, dance, cheerleading, gymnastics. Yeah. All of them are into that. You know, which is fine. Mm. That's cool, dude. I get it. You know, but it'd be nice to have some sports. You know,
maybe dude, later. It's maybe fun. They I mean, later. once you get out of, like, the little kid stage of sports, it becomes fun. Like, once it starts getting competitive, like, the baseball games now are actually fun to watch. I used to hate fucking watch baseball.
Yeah,
the soccer games are really fun. I don't know. It's fun seeing your kid out there competing, and you're like, yes, go.
Especially because you see them progress and get better, you know, time.
Learning.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, I mean, that's cool, though, man. I mean, it's a lot. You know, I mean, like, modern sports is very different than when we were in sports. And there's a lot of people that are talking about how, you know, the, was it baseball where they do the travel leagues? You know what I'm saying? The travel baseball where they, like, fly around. And it's like the new thing, you know?
For kids?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And they're like, it's ruining baseball. Like, a lot of people think it's ruined because it's like, it's too much. You know, it's like too much. For, and I remember being in baseball I've played baseball for 7 years. And
it's too much for who?
It's just, it's not.
The parents?
Well,
the parents and the kids are into it, why is it too much?
Well, I don't know enough about it to, like, honestly speak, but my basic understanding is it's like too much for the kids and too much for the parents. It's like, unnecessary. It burns kids out. It's not like it's just not like the old, you know, baseball where you practice twice a week, you play a game on a Saturday. That's what we all did, you know, and develop skills. These kids are like, it's almost is taking over their life. And
well, that you're describing, like, all-stars, dude. That's like next level tournament.
That's all-stars. We had all-stars obviously too. But the there's like the new thing is like the travel leagues.
Yeah.
And it's just,
Well, I mean, I think if you're doing a sport and you're taking it seriously and you want it to turn into something, you should be all in.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But it
depends.
But you're also, listen, I mean, I think, I don't know. I could look it up.
That'd be like from a motocross perspective, saying like we can't have any of these kids travel in the country. Like, this is too much.
No, it's not. Yeah. See,
but you have to. I mean, you go Whitney all over the country here, doing these amateur nationals, and that's how you get recognized.
Yeah, Whitney's talking about, she said, we did the travel softball, baseball as kids. There were three of us on three different teams. I don't know how many parents did it, though.
Ashley is saying what I'm trying to say. All travel ball is bad. The kids are getting burned out by the time they get to high school. So that's the thing is like, You do have to put it in perspective that, like, they're kids and they still have school to do. They still have, you know, there's other, most kids that are in, honestly, most kids that are in some sport are doing other sports on top of it. Cause, you know, I played football and baseball and then I wrestled.
Well,
you know,
don't do other sports.
Yeah, but that's not how it is. I mean, I know you are that way, but I'm saying, like, most are doing multiple sports. High school and college. College kids, Russell Wilson, man, got a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He also got drafted as a baseball player. Most of them are doing two sports, you know, because they're athletic and they do
well. Baseball is pretty much year round, dude. So, I mean, good luck trying to do two. I mean, you can't get around baseball. Like, yeah. If you're going to do baseball, you're going to be playing baseball and whatever else you want to do.
Yep. Mm. Yeah.
So, it's,
I mean, I get it. I don't have a cool thing for it, man. I'm just, I don't have like a dog in the fight, you know? But I do know that they were saying, if I remember right, they were just saying that like kids who are in that are suffering like in school, and they're like, because it's long. It's not just like, hey, we're going to this thing for the weekend. It's every day, all day. That's the only thing they do. And so like, as teachers are saying, like the kids are suffering because of it. And it's unnecessary. That's the big thing is, I know it's good to play a lot. It's always good. And you should, but man, when
keep some busy, dude.
Yes. But when we were playing, and all these baseball players now that didn't have travel leagues, they were playing their games and they were doing their practices, and they were practicing at home. They'd go in the garage, they'd hit the ball with the fucking string on it. They'd play catch with their dad or whoever it was. And they were still
mostly all of it's that way now. Like the travel stuff is very rare. If not, it's like the upper echelon. Yeah. Those are like the higher leagues that you pay for. Like you actually, sometimes you got to pay to play. Hmm. And those are the ones like that you would pay for your kid, whoever, son or daughter, to be on the team. You know, so, if they're good enough.
Ashley still gotta travel. She says she doesn't know how people afford it.
I mean, traveling for sports is expensive.
Yeah.
I'm looking. I want to see how much that costs.
My neighbors who have the Tesla.
Yeah.
Their son did like practice every day pretty much in Vancouver. So, I mean, they got off work, drove their son down to Vancouver so they could practice for baseball, which is like 2 hours, and come back home. So like they're getting home at like 8:30 every night. And it's just like, dude,
yeah,
that's rough.
It's dedication.
Yeah. That it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're into it, you're into it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, yeah. No, I, whatever. I dig it.
Yeah. I personally don't
really good at it.
I personally don't see the whole, I mean, I can see kids getting burnout, but if they're getting like burnout on the sport, then they weren't really that into it anyway.
Now, see, I disagree with that 100% because like you can love something. And if you are like, if it's something that is so like involving, like you have a high likelihood of burning out on it. Like high likelihood.
Just like a podcast, just like the anything. Band.
Like, dude. Yeah, if you're doing it very, like, and I'm not talking about like I do it an hour a day or two hours a day, but if you're like gone and your whole world is wrapped around something, I don't think that's outrageous to think that you can't get burned out. And I think if you're 6 and 7 and 8 and you're doing travel ball, man, like my kids can barely stand for 4 hours without complaining. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, like, I think,
dude, my kids complained when we went to Disneyland. I know. They're like, fuck, are we done walking around? Yeah. I just want to go sit.
I just think that, dude, like,
we're at Disneyland
at 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, like, is there a chance that they are really good at what they do, but they're, listen, let me give you an example. When I was in gymnastics, bro, I was in gymnastics and I was actually very good.
We're talking about flag football being pussy. Okay.
Hey, man, I can't help what I'm gifted at. You know what I'm saying? I was in gymnastics growing up because I was very flexible. My mom wanted me to do it and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed doing it. I really did. I was very flexible and I was always the best one in the class. Like this is good. And I did that for a couple of years, and I was asked to go to a Romanian school. I was invited to do this Romanian school that was out of town. And they said, listen, he's got a lot of talent. We think that he could be in the Junior Olympics someday, possibly. Like, he was good. I was good. I was flexible. I was capable of doing all the things that most kids my age were not doing.
Yeah.
You could suck your own penis.
Well, maybe.
Well, allegedly. You didn't. You never tried.
I never tried, but I feel like I could. But regardless, what happened was I ended up kind of checking it out. And I was getting burnt out. I was just like, this is like, and these kids were so good, right? Like, they were way ahead of me. But it was a good opportunity, but I ended up just telling my, I quit. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going to do it. And she was devastated, bro. I'm serious. She was crying because she's like, you were so like, this is like a thing that you're actually like naturally gifted at. And I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, it's too much. Like, it's all these people, this huge ass fucking, because I was just doing it at our local.
No.
You know, it was like this, you know, I knew some of the kids that were in it, shit. And then all of a sudden I'm at this giant fucking, you know, there's fucking future Olympians in there.
See, there's a difference. You enjoyed doing it, but you didn't want to do it.
No, I loved doing it. I loved doing it.
But you didn't want to do it at that level.
No, I'm saying that I was looking at the whole thing going like, holy fuck, like this is too much. I'm fucking 10. You know what I'm saying? Or I was 9 or 10 or whatever it was. I've been doing it for all this time. And I was like, it was scary. It was like too much. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't get it. I didn't get it to develop naturally. You know, like when you start in like you're playing softball or you're playing T-ball, I meant. And then you're in like the rookies or whatever. And then you're playing the major, you know, and then you play in high school or middle school and you play in high school.
So you got too good too fast?
No, I'm just saying like there's a point where like what started it was when I was at the local place. Mm-hmm. I was in my class with all the kids that were my age and I was just better than them. I'm not dogging them. I was just very flexible and I was able to do the things. And the teacher was like, he's too good for this class. Like we need to move him to a different class. And so I started doing a class with high school kids.
Yeah.
And they were doing like rings and bars and fucking, and I'm like 7 or whatever the fuck age I was. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like these kids are drastically older and they're fucking hanging on rings and fucking doing these
probably
fucking
buff too.
And, yeah. And you know, just more. And I'm like, I my fucking 7-year-old body, you know, like I wasn't physically, you know, I wasn't strong enough yet to do that kind of shit. And it was just, it was mm-hmm. very discouraging. And I understand why they wanted me to do it. But it's like, I was getting more discouraged because it just was like, it was too fucking much, man. I wish I could have just progressed.
But were you able to do it?
I would have been, you know, like I probably would have been able to do it. Yeah. It would have taken time.
Hey,
it
would have taken never time. Too late, Dave. It's never too late.
I'm just saying, I think sometimes, I think if you have a natural progression, I think that's the way to go. Like let them develop. And be with their friends as they're developing.
Well, there's a difference in being better than the kids you're lined up with mm-hmm. right then, and then being shoved into something that was above your capability.
It wasn't above my capability. Like I was more than capable of doing it. I just like I didn't have the body for it yet, you know. And that's well, what that, they wanted and,
like,
me there
you're
for.
You're probably looking down the road, and you're probably thinking like, dude, do I want to get this involved right now? Like I'm a kid. I want to go play. I want to like ride my bike.
I didn't think of that.
You're not thinking like that at 7 years old.
No, I enjoyed doing it, man. If you go
you're
back.
You're not thinking about like playing?
No, that was not a thing. Cause you got to remember too, it wasn't like, again, it's not like this travel ball where like that was my whole existence was that. Like I did it for a couple hours every 2 nights or 3, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't. Mm. And I still played and stuff, but that wasn't it. That's just, I don't know how to describe it. That's not what I was thinking at all. I wasn't like, oh, I'm not going to have friends anymore, you know, any of that stuff. I just was, you know, at that age, I guess what I'm trying to say is at that age and development and stuff, just natural development, like it's very easy to just be like, I'm not doing this. I'm done. You know, and you're just like, you know, maybe you shouldn't have quit, but you just are like, this is too much. I don't want to fuck, you know, it's not fun. Maybe that was what it was. You know, it's just like, holy crap, this is actually becoming. Like I could be in competitions and I could be fucking competing for the Junior Olympics someday, you know, like that's what they're like, hey, he's got real, you know, I was talented at it, man. I really was. And I was just like, holy crap. I was like, that's a lot.
Nervous, dude.
It's a lot, you know? So I think what I'm saying is I think there's a fine line about when you're with your kids and to my point to what you were saying with the flag football, you know, I'm making fun of it. Cause it's like flag football. We are always like, oh, flag football, but it's not a bad progression. I understand it. Like it's still fun. You know what I'm saying? They're learning some valuable skills with it. And then let them see it. Hey, do you actually enjoy it? And maybe you want to get pads on and actually do the real thing.
Yeah. Know? So, I mean, like at this age, we're kind of like assessing the skills because, I mean, it's fourth grade, right? You're in the fourth grade zone. So you're seeing like who's the fastest, who can catch, who can throw, who can, you know what I mean? Yeah. So you're kind of assessing and you're saying, okay, what do we got here? There's like a superstar on our team too. And like, he's just one of those kids that's good at every fucking sport. And his name's David, actually.
Ooh.
So I'm like, this kid, you see him in baseball. He's just fucking hitting dingers, dude. And I'm like, okay. And then now he's like catching every ball. He's a good quarterback and he's just good at everything. But
sometimes that's good. You build your character and figure out like, you know, like you don't have, even if you're not like football, I did football for just like, I think 2 years. And I was just like, these other kids were just more advanced. And I was like, they've been playing since they were kids. And I wasn't. And I enjoyed it. It was good exercise. It was fun to hit people, but I didn't give a fuck. But after gymnastics, I did wrestling. That was my sport. In like middle school and even in high school, I did wrestling. And I found that to be good because I was able to use that flexibility and that stuff that I learned in gymnastics. It was actually beneficial in wrestling. Like I was able to wiggle out of shit easier. I've only been pinned once my entire career of wrestling. Yeah. One time.
Well, dude, and then if you ever get in like a MacGyver situation, you'll know how to like slip your way out.
You know, I feel like
there's a tiny crack here. I got to slip between there somehow.
I got like man boobs now. So it's going to be harder to wiggle out of shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get hung up.
You'll be like Jean-Claude, my goddamn.
Yeah. Like the Vince Vaughn with the cigarette. Holding.
Yeah. That's
holding.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's exactly. That's exactly what I would be right now. You know what's funny? Go ahead.
Oh, no, go for it.
No, I was saying I don't get to go often because I'm working a lot, but I went to my daughter's, she was doing the cheer stuff, my oldest daughter, and I actually got to go watch her, and she's fun doing it, but I got to say, man, it was impressive. Like, some of these girls at 6, 7, 8, 9, because they had them all the way up to, like, I think middle school, so there was, like, probably 14-year-olds, maybe.
All in the same cheer thing?
Yeah, different, not in the same class, but they're all doing classes at the same time, so like, you could watch all of them kind of doing the thing. But there was some, like, I was blown away by, like, some of these 7-year-olds and shit that were, like, full-on flips, dude, like, you know, bouncing. Like, it was incredible shit. And there was this one girl there, and I was more impressed with her than anything. This girl was, I don't know, 14, 15, and she was probably fucking 220. I don't know. She was a pretty big girl, dude, and she was doing backflips and shit.
Really?
Fucking backflips. And I was sitting there like, Joe, are you seeing this shit? Like, because there's glass, you know, nobody can hear, but I think her mom was sitting by me. So I didn't want to be rude, but I was impressed. I wasn't trying to be rude.
Shit.
But she was like doing backflips, bro, around. And landing that shit. She was sticking that shit. And I was going, that is a fucking strong fucking woman right there. Like, that's not just like, hey, I'm a big girl who, you know, when you see like the libtards who are just like obese and no, this chick, she blew my mind, dude. I was like, damn.
Oh, dude. Oh, no. You know what it is? Are they training up Antifa young?
Nah, she didn't.
Is she
going to
be like a big 220 Antifa?
She didn't look it, bro. She definitely didn't look like one of those. You know what I'm saying? It's
I get you.
Yeah, it's just, it's wild when you think about like how bodies are built and like what's, you know what I mean? You see somebody who you presume is overweight or, you know what I mean, like bigger.
Yeah, you don't see them moving, like, doing backflips and
no,
stuff.
No, and that's right? So you watch the fucking NFL Combine and shit, right? And you see these fucking linemen, they're 6'5", and they're fucking 350, and they're running 4'8", fucking, you know, 40-yard dash. He's like, Jesus, man.
Dude, have you ever seen somebody that big run that fast, like, in real life?
No, not.
It's kind of scary.
Not in real life. No, not like that. No.
Like, back before Ron had, like, knee problems, like, when I first started dating Tiff, like, he got mad at these freaking birds that were coming down to like eat the fish in the pond and stuff. And I've never seen him run this fast.
Oh.
And I was like, holy shit, dude. It's like a fucking gorilla running. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, what the heck? Where did this come from?
Yeah. Cause again, you don't, you see your image of in your head is that this guy is going to be lumbering. And when they're like swift, you're like, holy shit.
You're like,
what
damn
the
it.
Fuck is going on?
I got to run faster.
Jesus, man. You see a big old tank fucking literally beating you in a race. Come on, man.
Yeah, no.
For 300-pound man that's running, like I was talking about, like the NFL. These guys are 6'5", you know. It's wild. It's a wild thing. I love sports. I think they're highly beneficial. Unfortunately, corrupt a lot of times nowadays, but I think it's true, highly beneficial.
But a lot of good for discipline and self structure and just keeping kids organized, out of trouble, all that stuff, and just teamwork. You know what I mean? Like, how do we work as a team, not just like me? Unfortunately, right now, it's a lot of me. Everybody wants the ball and all that shit.
See, that's what's nice about baseball compared to football. Like, especially when everybody can get the ball. Like, in baseball, you have a position.
Yeah.
And you're responsible for that position. You might switch out with somebody else, but you're really, like, I always played shortstop. That was my position. You know what I mean? So I was responsible for
Well, when you're in
that.
The outfield.
Well, that was infield. I'm shortstop's infield.
Or infield.
Yeah, shortstop. Yeah.
You know, when you're, and if you're the hitting team, you're all just kind of hitting.
Well, you take turns. Yeah. What I'm getting at is like you have your order of operation. This is you're the third batter, the fifth batter, whatever it is. But like when you're on the mound, it's you. You have your chance to shine. You know what I'm saying? Or fumble it. And you have a single position that you're playing. Whereas like, you know, you're saying everybody's kind of selfish. Like it's hard to be selfish when you have a designated position that you're responsible for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
So dude, I brought an article here and I kind of wanted to ask you guys a question. Cause like, I feel like this could go down a pretty good conversation and it has to do with, miracles.
Okay.
Because today or like, this weekend,
you experienced a miracle.
Well, no, but this pastor did because a man walked in, pointed a gun at him, pulled the trigger and the gun jammed. And it's like, what are the odds? And so like now it's kind of this semi-viral story and it's saying gun miraculously jams as man tries shooting a pastor during Sunday sermon in Pennsylvania church. And it was this 26-year-old dude walked in and he pulled the trigger and it clicked and you heard him shoot it. God jammed the gun so the bullet didn't come out. That's what the pastor told the TV story here, or the TV crew. There's a 1 minute clip of the story, and it's pretty interesting, dude. It's down inside of the article.
Okay.
So it's like it's going to start one of these conversations. You know what I mean? Like, have we ever witnessed something like this ever happening? And, you know, there's those viral videos that go where you're like, oh, the woman stepped out of the way right before the train came, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Had some terrifying moments unfolded, and they were caught on tape during a church service in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania yesterday, when a man pulled a gun on a pastor. This happened at Jesus's Dwelling Place Church in North Braddock. The incident was caught on video as that service was being live streamed. The attempted shooter, who police identified as 26-year-old Bernard Polite, walked up to the pulpit and aimed the gun at Pastor Glenn Germany, but thankfully the gun jammed. Another church member jumped in to tackle Polite and disarm him.
Once they raised the gun up, I jumped up, you know what I mean, from behind, got him from behind, struggled him down to the ground. I forgive him for what he did. I just mainly thank God that, you know what I mean, that nobody got hurt.
I mean, I'll say this, man, that dude's he's a hero. I believe that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, listen, most people when that happens are not running towards a gunman. Most.
No.
There's always somebody. But the fact that guy was still holding that gun, you know what I'm saying? And it was, I know it was jammed, but he was still holding it. You never know when it's going to fire you.
True.
He went and grabbed that guy around the shoulders and sat his ass down, man. I think that's pretty brave, dude. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just like made me think, like, what kind of miracles have you guys ever seen? A miracle like down in Texas, like since you've moved to Texas, have you seen anything weird?
No.
I know, Dave, you had a car accident a while ago, and that's kind of like a miracle that you survived that shit unscathed.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I don't know. I believe in miracles. I believe in them. I think that there's situations where it's like there was no way to overcome that. And for some reason, you know, by the grace of God, it happened where you survived it or something happened. You know, yeah. It's insane. You know, stuff like this, I don't know if I call it a miracle. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's be honest about what we're seeing. We have a guy who has a gun, a handgun. They do jam up sometimes. We've seen that, you know, it's happened a lot, actually. Especially if you don't know what the fuck you're doing. And especially if you have a gun that's probably stolen that you don't know how to fucking clean. You don't know how to fucking work it. And let's be real.
We're assuming it. We're assuming.
I'm absolutely assuming. But I'm just saying, you know, in
reality. I think the fact that it happened in a church makes it more miraculous. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, oh, it was God's will that drove this weapon to not work, you know?
You know, but we had the other situation. I don't remember where it was at, but we had the other, I don't know what it was, priest, pastor, I don't even know. But remember the guy that got stabbed multiple times? The guy ran up to the podium when he was speaking and started stabbing him in the face and the fucking, you see that?
No.
Really?
I didn't even hear about this.
Dude, fucking look that shit up. The guy was giving a sermon about, it was pretty wild, bro. Just the timing of it. He was talking, I believe he was talking about, you know, kind of the issues with society and, you know, like the violence and the issues. And this guy fucking runs up on stage. Yeah. Is this one? Sydney Bishop is Australia. And he was given a fiery sermon about where is humanity. He was talking about humanity and how it's falling apart. And this happened. And this is him after, obviously.
But he got stabbed in the eye?
He got stabbed all over the face. Like, watch the video. It's not gruesome. Okay. But
that's just a still shot.
That's a still shot. I wish you could see the fucking video, man. You could probably look it up on. But I guess you're getting the point.
It's probably on Twitter.
He was talking.
Anything goes on Twitter now.
And this dude just runs up and starts literally, like, the first shot was like a no shot. You know, it looked like a fucking right to the face. And so to me, I'm like, that to me is like, he was actually stabbed many times. That guy could have killed him probably if he clearly was sucked at stabbing. but I'm just saying, like, that man actually was stabbed multiple times and survived that. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, that's a little more like a gun jam. I guess it's not that much different. I just feel like guns do jam, you know, and it's like 95% of the time that unfortunately that guy would have been shot in the head and killed. You know, and we see gunshots all the time. We see people getting murdered all the time, unfortunately, in America and other places. And that particular one just that's how it worked out. That guy's lucky. I just like kind of look at it as he's just very lucky. But I don't know. I guess that is a miracle. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's definitely luck. That's for sure. It's just like, did God have anything to do with it? It's one of those things where, you know, just that because it was in a church, I feel like that's where it's the miracle thing comes from.
Sure. But, you know, but see, and then, you know, from an outside perspective, we've seen incidents where, remember that guy went into that church and started shooting it up, man.
Yep.
And people were getting shot and there was other people that ended up like tackling him or whatever it was. But, you know, we've seen terrible things happen in churches. And we had it here in Houston where that woman came in with a kid and started shooting the church. Like, I have a hard time, like, if one church is good enough to save this man, why is all churches not good? Because I don't think that's what it is. I think that they were lucky. A violent situation was halted because this guy...
I like how the gun guy, he basically was like, he said demons took over him.
Look at his name. What's see his name?
No.
Where's his Scroll name? Down. Bernard Jr. Polite. He's not polite. Hmm. He's not a polite man.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. I'm going to shoot you in the face now. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's scary. And I don't know why that, I don't know what that, and just like the other church, I don't know what was ever said that made somebody feel like they need to go up and basically assassinate somebody. That's what that was. That was an assassination attempt.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
I don't know what would make somebody do that. I really don't. But like a miracle to me.
It was.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
It was like Pastor like Glenn Germany. So it's like whatever he had.
Yeah.
I just found like another video on Twitter. I'm just looking up miracle caught on camera on Twitter.
Yeah.
I found a pretty good one here. Like you got to see this dude, the car crash.
Oh,
it's like it's a semi.
Is it the, oh yeah.
So yeah, well, just watch this dude. Nuts. There's a couple funny ones dude, where there's like, oh, a miracle dude. Look at this.
Come on, X.
Oh, not loading. Bum diddle.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah, I remember this. Oh, my goodness.
So this car, what is that? Like a Subaru? It's a Mitsubishi? But, yeah, just describing it for the radio listeners, like this car is completely crushed under a semi, but this guy comes out like nothing wrong with it. Look, they have maybe a minor nosebleed. He's like rubbing his nose like
That's pretty crazy. Well, I mean, you look at it and the cab itself of the car didn't really get crushed.
I mean the whole driver's side is
like
crushed,
the roof
right?
Got ripped a little off, but like the
this is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Actual structure stayed intact, so if he ducked down he was fine.
Like go to right where they pulled him out at. I want to see like what was the shape of his body in when
he was kind of leaned back.
He's sitting up.
He was just sitting straight up, dude.
Well, I mean, after
look at that.
I think the roof had peeled up, and I think like Chris said, the structure of the door and that integrity
If the door frame and everything, if that would have hit and crushed, yeah, he'd have been dead. But yeah. I think that kind of saved him.
Yeah, it's like luck of the draw, man. You know, like some people get into, you know, I always like talk about like Dale Earnhardt and like NASCAR. Like when you watch Dale Earnhart's crash that killed him, he literally hit the wall.
It wasn't even that bad.
It was not a violent, it didn't look violent.
Yeah.
And he died. And then you have cars that are ripped a million pieces and they fucking live. It's just, you know, it's that one millimeter of a fucking, you know, And like,
dude, I just bookmarked another one, dude. Like, we actually talked about this maybe 2 years ago. It's this car that flies over another car. Like, it was heading straight towards
it. Oh, yeah.
And it hits this little bump in the lawn or something, and then just flies over this other white car.
I remember this.
Look at that. Yeah. Remember that shit? Like, it goes vertical, like a freaking Triple X movie or something. Miracle. A heart-stopping
moment as an SUV goes airborne. That fucking pole was so strong, dude.
A priest on his way. Nothing's ripping that sign out of the ground.
And it was a priest, dude. Listen to the story.
Oh, it was.
Yep.
A priest on his way.
Yeah.
A priest on his way to church.
I do believe it's a marathon.
See?
God's hand was in it somewhere.
87-year-old Father John Bach was in the white Hyundai on his way to 9 a.m. Sunday Mass. The driver of the SUV is...
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
You know, it's just one of those things. It's like... Yeah, I think it's like everything else, man. If you have faith, right? If you have some faith, like, and especially when you're in that situation, you're like, it couldn't have been anything else. You know,
or
what I'm
like
saying?
I've seen several videos of like guys on street bikes and stuff.
Yeah,
like hit cars or gets like a car pulls out in front of them, they hit the side of it, and then they like they flip over and kind of land on their feet and walk out of it. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But then the next one gets fucking demolished.
Yeah.
I'm adding one that's kind of funny, but this one's like just trending all over the place. It's this guy like, well, just watch it. It's meant to be funny, I guess.
Okay.
Everybody's saying Miracle caught on camera. He's doing a little grind. But look, he's out of his wheelchair.
Oh,
he's actually up humping a woman. Grinding, dude.
Well, shit. I mean, I will say... I will
I don't even
say
know what they're saying.
His legs are jacked, bro.
Oh, really? I didn't even see his legs.
Yeah, bro. They're fucking... Watch right here. Chris, pause it. And not yet. I'll tell you.
When he like turns around,
Yeah, watch. Right here. Boom. His legs...
Those are his legs?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wait, here.
They're bent up.
Holy moly!
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Whoa.
But hey, I'm going to be real with y'all. If I was that man and I was just in a wheelchair because you're not. Yes. If you're not able to really walk and I'm him, I'm standing up for her. You know what I'm saying?
Right?
Like, I'm like, I'll move. I'll get up. I'll do whatever it needs to.
Not his regular two legs that are standing him up.
You know, maybe God.
You know, his third leg. He kickstand, dude.
He had a crutch, dude. You know what I'm saying?
A kickstand Willie.
And God, it was like, you know what? I know you have this thing, but I'm going to give you the power.
He had a lot of blood rushing through at that moment.
This made his whole month. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, dude. Whatever.
Listen, man. That's
like, I mean, it's just like kind of, you know, puts a fucking cherry on the conversation.
You know, I think when you have situations happen to you, whatever that may be, sometimes it is unexplainable how it all shook down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we've talked about that, my car wreck before, but like, you know, there were situations in that where I felt like it had to have been something else, you know, but even now I'm like, I don't know.
Is it fate?
Well, listen,
it's my final destination shit. It just wasn't your time at that moment.
I believe that too. It just wasn't my time, you know, but there were things like I was driving to Seattle all the time. I'd get off work. I'd drive to Seattle, spend time with my girlfriend, drive back at midnight to go back to work.
Yeah.
I mean, I just was spending all.
I was
of my
doing
time.
That too. When my first wife was my girlfriend, driving, getting off work. Driving to her place because she was going to PSU.
Mm.
She was living in Portland. Driving to Portland, being there till fucking midnight. Driving home, getting up at 4:30. Yeah. Driving back to Portland.
That was me. I was working graveyard.
Yeah,
and I would get off at 10 in the morning or 8 in the morning, and I would leave work, go change, and I would drive to Seattle. It was a 2-hour drive.
Yeah,
and I'd get there at noon, let's say, and I'd hang out until 10. And then I drive back and be back in Longview at midnight to work at 1.
Getting 2 or 3 hours of sleep at the most. Yeah.
Oh, there was almost no sleep. A lot of times I would just sleep at a rest stop for an hour. It was sketchy. But what I was saying was,
it was for an hour.
Well, you know, I didn't wear my seatbelt a lot. I just didn't. I didn't wear it. Not regularly. Like sometimes I would, most of the time I wouldn't. You know what I mean? And I remember that night. And that's the one thing that always was weird to me about this. And Greg said, like, you kind of had that mirror. The only thing I'll say is that particular night, for some reason, my girlfriend was like, you need to put your seatbelt on. And I was like, yeah, I probably should more often.
See, that and shit my, happens,
and my phone died. It didn't die yet, but it was like, it had like, you know, I had a flip phone. It had like 5% or something, some whatever, low number. And I was like, and I, my thing at the time was, you know, I'm going to call you when I'm like halfway and I'll call you when I get back. Just so you know, I made it and everything's fine. And I remember calling her when I was in like Chehalis area. And I was like, I was struggling to drive home. I was very tired. Like I was, you know, when you fall asleep and, you know, and that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And I rolled my windows down. I had the AC fucking just blown in my face, dude. And, and my phone died. I tried calling her because I was like, I don't know if I'm, you know, my phone died. And then about 5 miles outside of Longview, I fucking, you know, I went off the road, fucking tried to overcorrect, rolled the car multiple times and onto the street next to the highway. And the roof had collapsed. I landed upside down in this ditch thing on the other side of the road, but the roof collapsed around me. It was very, Greg, did you ever get a look at the car? I think you did.
Yeah.
My Honda.
A while ago. Yeah. Like right after it happened, there were pictures that you showed me, but it's like, it was upside down. Your car was upside down, right?
Yeah. But what was weird was my door was straight up and like normal. Like my door, like the whole window frame and everything was like exactly where it should be, but my entire roof collapsed. So the door was just sticking up in the roof. And like when you sat in the car, my steering wheel was bent back and the roof came down in front of the steering wheel and like around the steering wheel. So I was
like, it like molded around you.
I was inside of like a capsule, you know,
kind of like what that guy we just saw underneath the semi truck.
Yeah.
That probably was happened to him.
And a similar thing with the seatbelt thing happened to me when I wrecked, when I totaled my brother's Ranger.
Oh yeah, dude, that's right.
Yeah.
We got up really early that morning at like 5, went to the racetrack, rode dirt bikes all day long, drove back home, got back home about, I don't know, like between 4 and 6, something like that. Unloaded everything, cleaned all the bikes up. Then we took off and went to Longview and was hanging out with a bunch of friends. And then we were heading back home at like midnight that night. And I'm going up on Highway 30, going up over Rainier Hill back towards Clasco. Mm-hmm. And I get to the top and I'm driving and a cop pulls in behind me. And I fucking reach over slowly. I pull the seatbelt over and buckle it up. And then I'm like, I'm driving, I'm watching him driving, making sure I'm going to the speed limit. And then he pulls off the road and goes at like one of the back roads. And literally not even 5 minutes later, before I drop down into class, and I fall asleep. And if I can go off the embankment off the side.
Did that cop save your life, bro?
See? Yeah. He did. It's like weird shit like that that happens, dude. When you're like, what caused the cop to come at that moment, and save your ass?
I don't know. It was weird. I should have died. Dude, I should have died in that wreck. Because I was pinched between the dash and the roof.
One tree.
And then on the other side of the roof was a tree that smashed the whole thing in.
But that was like the one tree on the mountain, right?
It was the one. It wasn't the one tree, but it was the one tree that stopped us from going to the bottom.
Yeah. Dude, I just sent you a link. This happened not too long ago. This is at the beginning of April, where this is an Oregon man narrowly escaped a 4-foot saw blade that was barreling towards him. Did you see this?
Yeah, I saw this, man. Yeah, this was fucking
4 foot saw, like a bandsaw.
Yeah, no, circular saw blade.
Oh, okay.
Giant circular.
So watch the video first, and then you can scroll down. And you'll see the picture of the fucking blade sticking in the door. So he just like walks into a Minute Mart or something, right?
Yep.
I'm gonna make this bigger.
Yeah,
Eugene, Oregon.
There was a construction site over near where he was coming in here. You can see the cones.
Oh, so he's it came flying at him.
Watch.
Yep.
He shuts the door.
Watch. Shuts the door.
Oh, boom. Shit.
Motherfucker.
That's okay. That's some Final Destination shit.
That's a miracle. Mm-hmm. Because that literally hit.
It was
exactly
a runaway saw blade, dude.
Oh, my gosh, man.
Oh,
look at that thing. Yeah,
that's the wider angle.
You know what's funny, though? Is the guy, you can see the guy behind.
Yeah, watch up there.
And he peeks around like, oh, my God, I'm fired. And watch him. Watch the guy on the left, dude. You see the dude come right here? You see him walking on the left, and he's like,
Oh my God, is he good?
That's wild.
That's
like,
that's so wild, dude.
So like, go down to the picture of this thing, because it's, I mean, that's a good, what, 3-4 inches stuck in that door?
Oh, four inches, 4 or 5 inches, yeah.
Kablamo, dude, like that would have.
That cone right there is one of those like 2-foot cones, you know what I'm saying? And
oh yeah.
So it's a big motherfucking
blade. It's a big blade.
Yep.
That's
yeah. They said it was a 4-foot blade.
Yeah, they're
4 foot.
They were cutting through concrete, and it looks like the saw that it was attached to the fucking thing sheared off.
Oh yeah, you're right. It like it's like stuck in the middle.
That's the kind of shit that makes you say God kind of wanted you to go right.
The fucking housing on the saw itself sheared off, and the blade fucking took off.
I mean, if that shit hits him, and if it didn't miss it, and he was walking, and that just hit him. Like, you can't say, you're just like, that obviously was your time. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You were, like, the odds of it happening are so minute that, like, the fact that it did is just like, he's up in heaven right now. You know what I mean? It's just a weird thing. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, it is one of those things where it's like, dude, that's such a freak accident. Like, the fact that it happened to you, like, if it would have happened to him, it's like, well, I guess it was his time to go.
There was that one video a while back, it's an older one now, but there was they were doing some construction work on a high rise on a taller building, and that pane of glass fell and it literally like clipped the dude. It didn't hurt him, but it like fucking, it was straight up and down. It came down and fucking just kind of knocked him to the side and fucking shattered. And that would have split that fucking dude.
Oh yeah.
In half, bro.
He'd have been standing there and would have just been like,
where is that, man? I gotta see if I can find that, because that was one of the most wild things I've ever
seen. That reminds me of the boy band or somebody. They were dancing on stage, and then the large fucking TV screen just fell on his head.
I remember that.
Not good. Not good.
Yeah, the big stadium screen or whatever it was.
Oh yeah, dude, man. That thing just was massive, and the corner of it landed on his head. Just
God.
Yeah.
Near miss. Yeah, that when you get into that and you start like looking at near misses or near deaths, you know, and you're just like, you know, it's pretty like, it's pretty wild when you see how close people, and that it really does change you.
Oh yeah.
Because you're just like, to your point, like with your wreck, it's like, you should have died in that wreck. Like in all, if that was done 100 times, you would have lived twice maybe. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's how I view it. Like something that extreme. And it's like, think about all the things that you've done since then, you know, the friends that we've made, right? The marriage, the kids, your whole life since that point would never have existed. And it's a very like bizarre thing to think about. And, you know, we all have friends that we're in school with, or that we know, or now that we're older that, you know, have gone or passed, or, you know, knew somebody that's like, oh man, he died. What? You know, coworkers. I've
tell you
three
what,
of those.
Though, I haven't fallen asleep driving ever since.
But
I haven't
like
either.
Going back to Dave's point, though, it's like, don't you guys think that there is something higher out there guiding? I mean, you could look at it either way. But to me, I would say, it was clearly not your time to go, because someone wanted you to stay alive. Because Dave, with your girlfriend telling you to put on the seatbelt, which was rare. Chris, you like having that cop come up and like forcing you to click your belt in, you know what I mean? Like, what are the odds?
Almost, you know, yeah, you're right. There is a piece that's like hard to, but then it's like, I think about it and I'm like, you know, every once in a while, I'm sure you've had the experience. I have for sure. You get that feeling like, you just start thinking of somebody and they call you, you know, that thing.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to me like a week ago.
Like almost predictive.
Yeah. I was sitting in my car on my lunch and I was like, Jill normally calls me. Boom. I'm literally like a second. The phone was ringing. It was Jill. And I'm like, part of me feels like it's the fucking waves on the phone, you know, like going through your fucking, but my point is like, we all have those like intuitions sometimes.
Yeah.
And we, you know, you may be able to think of one or two, but my question to you guys is it possible that like something internal that we don't understand yet, maybe something in the brain, something internal, like maybe you sensed, cause you ever see where somebody like steps to the side for no reason and then something falls where they were just standing, or they move to the right and a fucking car takes out the whole fucking building and they're like, what the fuck, you know? It makes you wonder, well, is like, is there something in her brain that's like, you need to move real quick?
Like a sixth sense almost?
Yes.
Like,
but in this case, it was other people telling you to do things and influencing your actions, not yourself.
Yes,
you know?
But what if they also, like, what if you could sense, like, I don't, like,
Chris like, is, we're all connected, you know what
a
I mean?
Little like bit. The, maybe, like, so, she, maybe, I'm like, I'm giving her more credit because I don't have a fucking clue. I'm just saying. Maybe she was like, you know,
she's had a weird feeling.
I just like, cause we, that was the night that happened. We were actually at a dance. It was, you know, it was a dance thing that she was involved with. And, maybe she just was like, you know, it's been a long day. Like, you know, just say, better say, I'm sorry. She's had a feeling, a gut feeling that like, maybe that's what it is. Maybe she just felt like something was off and she's like, you know, you better buckle up, you know? Cause we do it with storms, right? Like if it's pouring outside, you're just like, drive safe, man. Like it's really bad out there. Because we can clearly see that it's bad. But what if you just have that feeling that it's bad out there? Yeah. And it's not a sign that there is something that's like in danger or dangerous, but you just have a feeling like, I don't know, something's off. And like, you know, just be extra safe. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that something too? You know?
Well, I mean, it kind of plays into that whole idea that people have had where some people think like the human mind and human capability is a lot more than we understand it to be, almost like we can almost manifest things to happen without knowing that we're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, like Greg said, a connectivity with everyone.
Yeah, like the collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Like somebody is thinking about something like subconsciously and something happens over here and it causes like a butterfly effect of things to happen down the line. And it just kind of an avalanche of situations fall in line to each other. And then people down the river from that can have that kind of weird intuition thing, like, oh, there's something's wrong with the fucking universe right now. I need to take a step left.
Sometimes. But maybe that's also God kind of giving you a heads up.
I don't know.
You know, who knows? Ban says he got hit in the head with a golf club.
Mm-hmm. Well, dude, remember when Ban was talking about something at his work where, like, a jack went out or something, or something flew across the room, like a bolt flew
or
off?
Or a spring? Was it the spring or something?
Something happened where he was like, dude, I like shit myself, and he had to go home.
He was saying
he shit himself.
That's normal. He said he got hit with a golf club, and if it was 3 inches over, it would have been on his temple, right? We know that's a weak spot. But you know what's funny is I remember when I was like 7 or 8 years old, I was watching some fucking like Maury or some bullshit like talk show. I was at my grandma's house, and there was a girl on there, and they did the reenactment, and she played softball. And she got hit in the temple with a softball, and they were doing the reenactment, and you know she was like, oh, you know, in the reenactment, and then she like started having a seizure, and they're like, yeah, see, if you get hit in the temple, it's like a soft spot of your head, you know, and you can have seizures. And I remember I was so fucking terrified of my temples because I saw this, and I remember thinking like, I can't even rest my fucking head because it's my temple. Like I thought it was like, yeah. I thought it was
dude,
like,
don't slap me in my temple.
Yeah, it was like a baby
skull. I'm
gonna
have a seizure.
Exactly.
Well, they say like you get headaches and stuff. That's what people usually do is massage the temple. Yeah. Like you're just rubbing directly on your brain.
But I feel like they made it sound like it was like almost like there was no bone there. It's just straight brain, you know. And I felt like
I don't think there is bone there.
There's bone there.
I think,
your brain isn't just protruding. Yeah,
it's not protruding, but I don't think it's solid right there. I think
like you have a cranium. It encloses your brain.
It's definitely solid. I think it's just like it's kind of like.
Oh, you're right. It is. Yeah, it's like a weird indentation right there that goes kind of behind.
It's like
your
a sensitive part of yours. Like you know when you get like a kidney shot, like somebody kicks you in this like a UFC and they kick you in the kidneys and it fucking will drop your ass because it's just a sensitive area that like it maybe that's what it is. That part of the brain, you know, there is just more susceptible to getting rocked, dude. You know,
or maybe it's just a thin bone.
Thin
you know?
Bone.
Yeah. There's thin bone right there. I don't know.
He said it was a jack that failed. While removing the spring.
That's right.
Oh, removing a spring. It was a spring. Yeah. And those things, that shit will fucking kill you quick.
My dad had a situation when we were kids. He was redoing, like, on my brother's PW50, they have drum brakes. Mm-hmm. And in drum brakes, you basically have this hub. And then inside the hub is the brake pads that are the same shape, two separate ones. And then you have springs that hold them together, and then you pull the cable to activate the drum, it pushes those out and against the hub, and that's how you stop. Well, he was replacing the brakes on that, and you have to pull those springs over to attach it all together, and he had some needle-nose pliers, and he was pulling the spring over, and it slipped off, and he fucking went like this, and the needle-nose pliers hit him right in the corner of the eye here on the nose.
Damn.
Missed his fucking eye by a fucking hair.
Mm. Smurf's little, you know what, hair.
That's scary.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I had this situation happen once. My first job was at the Bon Marché, dude. My mom worked at the Bon Marché for all
the
my
bon
life.
Marché. The Bon Marché. I haven't heard that name in for fucking
it's hours. Macy's now, but it was the Bon Marché. And so she got me a job there. I was like 15. And she's like, you know, what I did is I went in and I unloaded trucks. You know what I'm saying? All the clothes. I just unboxed them and put them on hangers and put tags on them, shit. And I was just in the back room. But it was like, I got paid like fucking, I don't know, $7 an hour or some bullshit. Yeah. But anyways, I had a box knife, you know what I'm saying? And my mom was working. She was like in human resources and she was in the offices and I was in there working. My boss was this gay man, which at the time I didn't know a lot of gay men, but he was definitely gay. He's very cool though. He's an old school kind of like, you know, cool.
An old school gay.
Yeah. Like the original, like, hey man, you know, he's funny and he wasn't all about all this fucking bullshit. But regardless, I had a box knife and, you know, I know now because I've worked with him basically my whole life is you never like cut a box towards you. And I didn't know this then. I had this box and I put it between my hip and I was cutting the seal and I fucking cut all the way across my stomach.
Oh.
And so my shirt.
You almost gutted yourself.
My shirt opened up all the way across. I literally cut my shirt and it flopped down. And I looked down and I saw a line and it started bleeding.
No way.
Yeah. And I was going, oh my God. And I freaked the fuck out. And I told my supervisor at the time, it wasn't the gay man, but it was this other, you know, person. I was like, I cut myself. And that's all I said. I was like, I fucking cut myself. And they looked at my shirt and they're just like, oh my God. So they took me to my mom. And I was like, Mom. And I was just like, I had like blood, you know, blood.
Nobody lifted up your shirt to see.
It was open. You could see it, man. My gut was ripped off, dude.
He cut his shirt in half.
We looked at it and I calmed down. It wasn't very deep. Thank God. But it was definitely like I was bleeding. And I thought, I was like, dude, I'm like, I wasn't very chubby back then.
Almost disemboweled yourself.
Yeah, I wasn't that chubby at that point in my, you know, my life. So it wasn't like I had a 2 inches of fat layer. You know what I'm saying? Like, a little harder and I might've been pushing stuff back in. You know what I'm saying? Like it was freaky, bro. But my mom had to buy me a Mossimo shirt there because my shirt was fucked.
That's like you ever see those fucking... kind of like that movie, A Thousand Ways to Die, those things where people like are walking into their house and they trip or slip on the stair and they fall backwards and the fence post goes through and up and out and it misses every severe thing you could ever do and they're still alive.
Yeah.
That's like, what are the odds of that kind of shit, man?
Well, that actually goes back to like a big psychological study. Like when you take like a psychological class or psychology class or something, there was a guy, something Gage, like Atticus Gage or something.
Atticus.
He was like at a construction site and like this large pole went through his head and through a part of his brain.
Oh,
yeah.
And he lived. And it was kind of like this weird situation because science or like people were like, what's going to happen? You know?
Mm.
And it just like made him a big fucking asshole. Like he would just like turn into like this big prick and he just had a shitty attitude. It could have been because he had a hole in his head and he's like deformed. You know what I mean?
It just like
fucked his brain up.
It just removed the nice personality part of his brain.
But that's what they came to the conclusion, turning the soft science into hard science, that the part of your brain that this penetrated and kind of deformed was responsible for your social interaction and your like affability and you know.
Hmm.
You know what? That's crazy because they were talking about like. You know, the people with brain tumors and shit, you know, a lot of times they notice behavior changes, right?
Because
like,
it's pushing on different parts.
And they become aggressive or just different. They're not the same person. And it's like, it's fucking with the brain, man. And like, you become not you anymore. It's a weird, you know, because we all have these personalities and like, we know each other and we know our quirks and we know our, you know, our personalities. And it's like, it would be weird, especially being married to somebody. And you're
all of a sudden they're different.
That would be the worst.
You would be like, what the fuck did I do that you're always so pissed off? Or, you know, why are you so aggressive with the kids all of a sudden? Or you become abusive or you know, any of that stuff. And all of a sudden, like, oh, he's got a tumor. Wow.
Yeah.
And, you know,
dude, I just saved a couple of photos. His name was Phineas Gage. The second or the last photo that I just took this. So this was in 1848. He was 25 years old, dude.
Well, he looks like he's a prick, though. I got to be honest with you.
It's like, fuck you.
He looks like a frat
fuck
boy.
My brain. Yeah. But look at what happened to his
I
head.
I want pussy. That's all I care about anymore. That's a pretty violent. That's a pretty
The rod penetrated Gage's left cheek, yeah. tore through his brain, and exited his skull before landing 80 feet away. So this thing, like, went through his fucking head.
Yeah, that's...
Jesus.
I would call that a miracle, 40, honestly.
Yeah, 43-inch long, 1.25-inch diameter rod went through his fucking head.
So obviously, the brain situation is the most obvious answer. You know what I'm saying? That he,
yeah.
that he had some shit going on. Also... how much of a badass did he think he was? Especially at this period of time where medicine was not where it's at, surgeries weren't where they're at. You had a fucking giant rod penetrate your skull. You lived.
Yeah.
He probably thought he was like the most badass motherfucker. You can't kill me, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck yeah. you. And now all of a sudden you feel like strong at a bar. You know what I'm saying? Like where you're like, oh, you're talking shit, Bill? I had a fucking rod through my head. Fuck you. Your punch ain't going to do shit. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? He just is emboldened. That could
fucking
be a
survive that would be, that would survive you.
Give me whiskey.
He just ends all conversation, like ends all arguments with that. Be like, I survived. And then yes. goes, oh yeah, you did. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Like, yeah.
You know, there's that too. There's always that possibility.
Don't give me shit, Carl. I had a rod in my head.
Yeah. Oh, I ain't afraid of your bat, Bill. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Bring it on.
Yeah.
That's true.
You never know, man. You never know. Sometimes people get that way, you know? I think, like, you know, for me, miracle-wise, I think when you look at stuff that blows me away or is like, you know, war shit and veterans, there's people that's just been blown to smithereens, bro. And I got caught up. I was listening to Rogan the other day. I've been on a kick with him. He's had some really great guests on recently, like some real good ones. But he was talking about a sergeant or something in the Army. He was like a Marine or something, and he got the... I can't remember what he all got, but he basically like went in and got shot up like fucking 40 times. He had like 40 bullet holes in him, just fucking ravaged, bro. And he fucking saved a bunch of people and survived. And I'm like, man, that dude was shot so many times, like in the head, in the arms, the legs, the fucking everywhere. And he fucking lived, you know? And then you see the guy, I saw this one dude who literally had no arms. No, he was just a fucking nub, bro. I mean, he no dick anymore. Just straight, like, no, nothing hanging off of anything but his head. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, how do you live through that? Like, whatever happened to that person, like, it's shocking that he didn't die of shock. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that you, if you look down and you're bleeding out and you have no arms, no legs.
The human body, dude, is resilient as fuck.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, there's something to it that, and maybe that's the miracle in itself, is that we're way more resilient than we realize.
Like, we're super fragile, but also we can withstand a lot of shit.
Some of us can.
Some.
Well,
but then like you get bumped and you fucking die. You know, like there's people that
you pick up
just
a pebble in your dad's driveway and you're out for a week because you can't.
Yeah.
Walk.
Yeah. Throw out your back, dude.
The epitome of not being lucky.
Spinal.
Spinal.
God, man, that spinal. Sucked. That was the worst fucking week ever.
Spinal.
God.
You know, it happens. That's what I'm saying, though. Just one minor tweak, and all of a sudden, you're crippled. You know what I'm saying? Like, one little fucking thing, dude. But then a guy can be blown up, and he's still...
Fun fact, though, before we end the show. Like, old photos like that, did you know, like, there? If you look at some photos from back then, they're like the people standing there, some of them are kind of have like a weird blurry shimmer to them. And then some people are like crystal clear. The crystal clear ones are because they're dead.
Yeah.
Because they're not moving at all.
Yeah.
Oh,
they used
like, cause the, cause the shutter stuff on the cameras wasn't very good. So any kind of movement would make you kind of blurry.
Yeah.
So like the people that are like crystal clear, it's cause they propped them up cause they're dead.
What a weird thing. What a weird fucking thing.
Like family then, pictures, if there's like one person that's super clear, it's because they took a picture with their dead relative.
Yeah. Back then, they're like, Jebediah is dead. We need a photo.
Yeah, right? That's fucking weird as
shit.
They
take a photo, and they have photos of like babies that died and like fucking six-year-olds with their sister, you know, brother, and they're like, you know, and Jessica's fucking gone, dude.
How weird is that?
It's a weird thing. It's a weird.
That is pretty weird.
Bizarre thing, dude.
Could you even imagine
different times?
That? Could you even imagine like, we haven't got a family picture yet. Let's prop him up. Let's get one right now before he fucking starts decaying.
Well, dude, photos back in the day rare
luxury.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's true.
And it's like you had to get one before you buried him. You know what I mean? Like you needed that final. And it's weird. It's a weird thing.
And you wanted it. And obviously, like they wanted it to look like he was with them.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, you got to make it look a little bit normal.
Yeah.
That's creepy as shit.
It's creepy.
But anyway, maybe it wasn't creepy miracles then. Happen, everybody.
Oh, I think they do. They absolutely do. I just don't want to call everything a miracle because it devalues the real miracles.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then again, maybe they think it's a miracle and I'm not going to take it.
Miracles happen every day, Dave.
There we go.
All right, dudes.
Amen.
Good show, guys.
Cheers to you guys.
Yes. Talk to y'all Wednesday.
Later.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.